drive across this big, brown, flat, mysterious, crazy country, Telstra MobileNet Digital presents Martin Malloy with Mick Malloy and Tony Martin.
And today it's our 100th show and we'll be celebrating with the most sickening 2 hours of show business backslapping and self-congratulation you've ever heard. Also today we test drive that troublesome Clinique dramatically different face paint. Check out Michael Hutchins' latest punch-on with a photographer. We'll have Radio Gladiators. And joining us live for the first time, we've let him out of the booth to take part in today's 100th show, Zuckfest. It's the copper art-encrusted Pete Smith in the flesh. Yes, it's all coming up on the program that doesn't have to be dramatically different to make your face break out in a rash. Martin Malloy. Let's kiss like angels do. That's Wendy Matthews opening up the 100th Martin Malloy with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke here, a man who's celebrating 100 shows, 200 fart jokes and 379 gratuitous references to Baywatch Mick Malloy.
And I can remember them all. Ask me which one do you want? 272?
Oh, there'll be plenty of time for that.
All right.
But I've just noticed, Mick, that it's, 100 shows. Nobody's bothered to send us a cake.
Again.
Don't you
have you ever had a cake? Has anyone ever sent you a cake?
Not on this show.
No.
I thought there might have been one for like the 57th, because that was a beauty.
Well, it was a memorable one.
But nothing. No.
Diddly. Well, what are we going to do? We should get a cake.
I'll tell you what, we'll order one ourselves.
Should we?
We'll just call up a cake joint. And I found a place here in the old Yellow Pages.
Because it's the thought, it's not much.
I don't think we can go wrong with this place, Mick. Cakes are us. Here we go. There we go. Cakes are us.
Cakes are us, good afternoon.
Hello, who am I speaking to?
Neil.
Hello, Neil. This is Tony Martin and Mick Malloy calling from the Martin Malloy radio program. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Now, do you do cakes with, like, words written on them, that kind of thing?
Sure do.
Okay, how much do you charge? Is it a charge per word?
No, we decorate the complete cake, so we charge for the whole job.
Oh, right, that's just as well, because otherwise, if you're doing a cake for, say, Tim Finn, it'd be quite a cheap one. But if it was, Rebecca Elmer Loughlin,
absolutely,
you'd be
forking
out the cash.
Yeah.
Is it like Scrabble? Does it cost us more if we want to put an X in there?
No, and you don't get any triple word scores either.
Okay. Neil, just want to get a bit of background. Do you ever get any weird requests for cake icing?
What specifically do you mean by weird?
Like an unusual phrase that they might want you to do, that kind of thing?
Not so much that. It's more the weird things you get sometimes are in the decorations that you'd get. One, I remember some years ago, we had two policemen getting married and they had pigs on the cake.
Did they really?
That was probably a farewell cake for the Deputy Police Commissioner in Sydney.
We had one very recently with the groom sitting on the top tier of the cake with a bride lying over her lap and being spanked.
Oh, really? Was that Gary Sweet's wedding by any chance?
Could well be, actually, except, once you got a bit of a tan, yes, it could well have been him.
Do you ever get people calling up wanting you to bake a file into a cake? For a prison escape?
Haven't been approached on that one yet.
Oh, yeah. Because when my dad was in prison, I sent him one of those white night chocolate bars with a file inside it. And he actually ate the file and used the chocolate bar to tunnel his way out.
Did he now?
Yeah. Now, what about people jumping out of cakes? Is that a common thing? Do people still go for that?
Occasionally, particularly if they are a male or female strippers.
How exactly do you do that? Do you bake the person inside the cake? Or is the person installed
actually,
later?
We grease them properly first and then we do it, yeah.
You have a lot of fun down there at your cake shop, don't you? Hey, when you're letting off steam, you ever been inclined to maybe get yourself in a pie fight?
No, and a bit hard with fruitcake. It gets a bit lumpy,
I see. Would that be grounds for dismissal?
Could be, yes. I don't think the boss would smile on that.
Hey, Neil, how does it feel to know that you get to play with your food for a living? Is that a satisfying thing?
Well, I think we get more satisfaction from the fact that we believe that we sell happiness, because people come to us, they usually have a celebration of some sort, whether it's a 21st or 18th, an anniversary, And only once have we done a divorce, and she was pretty happy about that.
Had you done a divorce?
Divorce cake,
yeah. That'd be the strangest. You haven't done anything in the way of a funeral?
No, we got approached to do a coffin cake, but that was, again, going to be a birthday cake, somebody's sense of humour.
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious. That's a beauty, that one. Do you ever, have you ever been given a cake yourself, like, you know, it's your birthday and everyone goes, surprise, and gives you a cake, and you just look at it and go, whoa, that's a shoddy piece of work.
No, I haven't had that pleasure yet.
Okay, now, Neil, can we give you the message we'd like to whack on our cake?
Certainly.
Okay, you got a pen?
Hang on, just grab something quickly.
Well, you don't have to write it down in icing now. Just get it down on a bit of paper first.
I've just got to find a piece of paper that'll work for you.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Here we go. It says, Dear Mick and Tony, congratulations on 100 brilliant shows. We never miss an episode. Signed, Arthur Tunstall, Dieter Brummer, Greg Matthews, Fury, Kate Fisher and the cast of Echo Point. and if you can't get Kate Fisher's name on the cake, maybe you could organise her to jump out of it. I know it's a bit of a long message, Neil, but maybe you could go on to a second cake for this one.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for helping us out today.
You're more than welcome.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You want a Mac cake? In Excess needs you tonight on Martin Malloy.
Hi, Pete Smith here in the studios of Martin Malloy as we celebrate 100 glorious shows. Martin Malloy has remained essentially unchanged since those early broadcasts all those years ago.
I say, Michael.
What's that, Anthony?
Have you caught sight of this popular new starlet, Raquel Welch, yet?
Yes, she's certainly got a lot of talent up front.
Indeed. Here's my impression of her preparing for a public appearance.
And over the years, the program has brought you some of the biggest names in show business.
And now, someone who we predict is going to be around for quite some time, here she is, Fairly Arrow.
There have been heartwarming moments, like the time Mick and Tony met Luke and Jonah, the Siamese twin babies.
Hey! No talking while his mouth's full.
But it hasn't all been smooth sailing. Who could forget the time the lads played host to Blimpy, the lactose intolerant cat?
So, Blimpy, which of all your film and TV appearances has been...
Oh, no, Toad, look, he's got number two.
And the show received a record number of complaints for use of bad language when the controversial material girl Madonna dropped by.
So, Madonna, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, your new album's pretty f***ing awful.
It sure is, Toad. It's f***ing horrible.
You're not f***ing wrong. It's f***ing shit.
What do you think, Pete?
It's f***ing. But whenever things have started to look bad, Mick and Tony have always managed to pull something new out of the bag.
Please welcome back our old friend Blimpy.
Oh, no, Tone, look, he's done it again.
Although the show nearly came off the rails the week Mick walked out following a dispute over parking spaces and Tony decided to replace him with a sound-alike.
Now, Mick, the latest survey results show that beer's not as popular as it used to be.
What is going on in this country? We're a nation of dead-set Nancy boys. Beer is number 9 on the list, milk is number 1... Now, all I'm saying is, someone out there is not pulling their weight. What a load of pussies!
But the show achieved its highest ratings ever a week later when I stepped in and healed the rift.
And now, please welcome someone else with a big future in front of her, Colette.
Hi, Tone.
Mick, what are you doing here?
Sorry, Tone. Just a little last-minute surprise arranged by Pete.
Call me Boutros Boutros Copperart.
And who's this with you?
Yes, Tone. It's Blimpy.
Just a few memorable moments from 100 glorious shows. SAFM.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love. You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price, I know.
Let's crack open the Martin Malloy.
Hey, let's crack open the Martin Molloy Galaxy of Stars. And listen to this, Mick. Hot-headed... You love the music, don't you?
I love it. I just, you know, especially considering what's about to ensue. It's so glamorous and up-tempo, and all you're about to do is pay out big time.
Well, listen to this one. Hot-headed rock star Michael Hutchins could end up in jail after hitting yet another cameraman. Just days after his last court appearance, Hutchins was at it again, this time as he waited for girlfriend Paula Yates outside her solicitors. Do they have enough legal problems? But the NXS frontman lashed out and spat at photographer Paul Greaves, snarling, "Don't forget, I'm the talent, you're the..." And then there's just four asterisks. Gee, what would that word be, I wonder? Tops? I'm the talent, you're the tops? Maybe not. But at that point, Yates appeared and waded in by whacking another photographer over the head with her handbag. Now, ever since the early stoush, people have been saying, who's Mike Tyson going to take on next? I reckon Hutchins is the man. Just get Tyson to wear a couple of cameras around his neck and let him go. And if the going gets a bit tough, Hutchins could just manoeuvre him over to the ropes and Yates could lay in with a handbag. Now, that's the kind of thing that would get me subscribing to pay television. But when I contacted Michael Hutchins with this idea earlier today, he had only this to say. And I'm taking that as a no. But another of our favourites has popped up in the Galaxy of Stars, Mick. A former boyfriend of Anna Nicole Smith has revealed the secret of the 27-year-old model and widow's eating regime. A former boyfriend, speaking from the Beverly Hills retirement home, Daniel Ross claims Smith has an insatiable appetite. For breakfast, she has, listen to this, and write this down at home, by the way, four or five eggs, cheese, tomato sauce, and a sausage roll dipped in mayonnaise. And for dinner, she orders ribs and onion rings swilled down with beer and Johnny Walker. So, ladies, there it is, the Anna Nicole Smith diet. That's not lean cuisine. That's obscene cuisine, that one.
Absolutely.
But before you race off to the supermarket to load up on the sausage rolls, mayo and onion rings, listen to this. When asked how, with such an appetite, she was able to retain her figure, Ross recalled, quote, "She was big on liposuction." Well, I bet she was. Anna Nicole would have had a little portable liposuction machine with her at the dinner table, I reckon, a kind of supermodel bilge pump. After the last plate of ribs and jug of beer had gone south, it'd be, "Okay, Reg, fire it up!" Oh, that's better. Oh, bit of pizza. There she goes. SAFM. Now, it's our 100th show, so for a bit of a treat in the next hour, we are opening the doors to the glass booth and Pete Smith's going to spring out and just weave a bit of live magic on us. I think we're going to put him through his paces. I reckon we give him a couple of voiceover challenges, something like that.
If anyone out there is listening, fax us some questions to ask Pete. Anything, this is your chance to speak to Pete. We'll ask the questions.
Inside the head of a legend.
Imagine.
It's a one-off opportunity. The fax number here is 1-800-816-679. And I'd just like to quickly mention our guest next Monday, because it's a bit of an exclusive. We're going to be spending a whole hour, the second hour of the show, with a man called Harry Shearer, whose name you might not be familiar with, but you certainly know his work. He's just about every voice on The Simpsons.
Yep.
He's Mr. Burns, he's Ned Flanders.
Smithers, Otto.
He's Scratchy.
Scratchy, one of his. That's correct.
And he's also probably even better known for being the bass player in Spinal Tap.
That's right.
And he's been out here filming an episode of Frontline, and the Frontline people have very kindly extended his visa to include a stop off at Martin Molloy.
Absolutely, and that's what you do. You spend a whole hour with someone like that, whereas, you know, you missed a copper art, we'll give him a break. Maybe two.
We'll be in and out with Mr. Copper Art in no time. But anyway, that's in the next hour, and Harry Shearer's next Monday, so mark it in your diaries. Mm-hmm. But I should just point out, Mick, have you been following this trouble with cosmetic company Clinique's dramatically different
moisturising lotion. They apparently had a number of complaints from people who have used the stuff and had their faces break out in blisters and sores.
Well, there you go. It's true to its name, isn't it?
That's not false advertising.
No, absolutely not.
Dramatically, it promises...
Don't try getting your money back on that.
It says dramatically different. What do you expect?
Idiots!
You look in the mirror, you want to see something dramatically different. I think they haven't gone far enough. I want to see horns sprouting out of people. That's what they should be aiming for. But subsequently, Mick and myself are pleased to announce the release of the Martin Malloy range of dramatically different products. Now, there's your dramatically different chocolate assortment, which contains broken glass and laxatives. The dramatically different airplane life jacket that's made of lead. There's your dramatically different fire extinguisher that's chock full of unleaded petrol. And there's your dramatically different TV week, which doesn't contain pictures of Kimberly Davis.
This is Martin Malloy.
Hi, Tony and Mick. This is Santo here, one of your ex-colleagues from The Late Show, and I just wanted to ring you up and congratulate you guys. 1,000 shows. It's just what a great achievement it is. Sorry? What? 100? What's the big deal about 100? Forget it. I'm not going to say congratulations.
Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
From
Athelstan to Alberton, from Salisbury to Stepney.
In the meantime, it's time for... Oh, there's our producer's belt hitting the floor.
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Just be seen. Two of the most amazing scenes. I must be next. Can't see the carpet for jeans.
You know what it is? It's because we've spent so much time just slapping ourselves on the back and saying, aren't we fantastic? 100 shows.
It's one big love in here today, isn't it?
That we're running woefully behind.
I told you, mate. By the way, thank you. Thank you for everything.
Have we got wind beneath your wings queued up, Gracie?
Come here, you big lugger. Give us a hug. You know you want to.
Save it for the end of the program, Mickey. Alrighty. But we thought today, Radio Gladiators, what we'll do is actually ask people to think of ideas for segments for the next 100.
Exactly. Because it doesn't end here.
No.
The show is a work in progress.
We've got stuff. I know we've got unbeatable segments like Galaxy of Stars and World Focus and Celebrity Corner. But I think we need some new ones. I think we need some new ideas for competitions we can do, for, ongoing subplots. It's really anything you want.
Here's an idea. I thought maybe we should start saying the word man after everything. You know what I mean? Okay, and coming up later, man, is Pete Smith. What do you reckon, man?
You've spent your afternoon productively, haven't you, Mickey?
Well, you're knocking that on the head.
I really think, and we brought this up a couple of weeks ago, a footy show-style format.
Oh, mate, leave me out of that.
Oh, mate, I'm not touching that
mate,
one.
Mate, come on. Whoop, let that one go through to the keeper.
Hey, where does he get him from?
Oh, he keeps coming, I tell you.
Something like that could work, us in the suits. But, if you've got something, we want you to call up. And the prize, you know what it is, people. It's a Sony lightweight Discman, the world's smallest but bestest stereo. And it's brought to you by 4&20 Pies. And can I just say, I think that was a wonderful gesture from the 4&20 people, bringing in the giant 4&20 Pie. And with the name written on the top, you know, 100 shows in tomato sauce. That was great. But then the icing on the pie, it bursts open and out comes, covered in gravy and beef, a completely nude Max Sharam. And... I thought it was a special moment, but apparently that's just a daily event for her. Because, she's mad as a hatter.
Yeah, that could be... That's like the lucky pie. we just happen to get it today. Tomorrow, someone else is going to go and buy 4&20 pie. They just put it, take a bite. Bang! Gravy-soaked Max Sharam will appear. Jack in the Box style.
It's an attractive proposition. But we want your new ideas for the second 100 shows. Call us now, 1-800-657-657.
SAFM.
Martin Malloy on SAFM.
Somebody's lying.
Chris
Chris Isaacs. Somebody's crying here on Martin Molloy. It's our 100th show, and on Radio Gladiators today, we're searching for new ideas for the second 100 shows, assuming we're going to get that far. So, really, we're looking for kind of stuff we haven't done before. Mm-hmm. So, who have we got, Mickey?
Well, to help us out, first up, we've got Carsten. G'day, Carsten. How are you going?
Yeah, how's it doing? Not bad.
That's away. That's away. Now, look, we're looking for input. What do you got for us?
Well, I thought maybe a dead fish segment would be good. Mm. As in, for example, if Arthur Stunsell was dead, well, he could go into that segment.
So, wouldn't that be a dead Arthur Stunsell segment?
No, that would be a dead fish segment.
Do I have to guess what kind of fish he'd be?
Oh, well, basically anything that's dead, fish-like, slimy, greasy, and undesirable, smelly, well, that could go into it.
Right, so you go, well, Arthur Stunsell, if he was dead, he'd be, what, trout?
He'd be trout.
Be pilchard. What would he be?
You'd be in the pilchard family.
Yeah,
a groper?
I think we might have to get we might have to get Rex hunted to see.
Yeah. We'll leave that with you, though, Carsten, but thanks for that. Can't have a lie down.
I can't think of any more dead fish angles, and believe me, people, I'm trying. Have we got Neil there? Neil, are you with us?
Yep.
What's your suggestion?
The pie in the eye job. All those things that annoy you. You can pick a person for the day or something the government might have done. Mm. An opportunity for you. The person you'd most like to give a custard pie in the face to.
Oh, right. Okay.
So we say today on pie in the face. What are you calling it?
Pie in the eye.
Oh, today on pie in the eye, it's Arthur Stunsell. But we can't find him. He's dead and fish-like.
Yes, this has got legs, I think. But I like the idea. It's a bit like what we used to do on the telly with Sink the Slipper, where we just boot into the butts of celebrities. But I think
Fading. I'm fading in and out a bit here. I'm sorry.
Are you? Well, yeah. We'll make sure we sling a pie in the Optus people's direction. So thanks for the idea, Neil. I think it could work. And, of course, the pies would have to be supplied by I think we know her.
Naturally.
Yes. Now, have we got, is it Michelle?
Michelle,
what's your idea?
I was thinking of a radio serial like Lost in Neverland or something, and you can have it starring Anna Nicole and her new husband, Uday. And guest starring Pamela Anderson and whoever's in the news that day.
I think that was the last 100 shows.
Yes, it sounds vaguely familiar, but I think obviously if it's going to be called Lost in Neverland, all the names you mentioned, they're far too old, I'm afraid.
You can have new ones, whoever's in the news at the moment.
Oh, okay. Mm. All right, that's not a bad idea. But do we have David on board? David, what's your suggestion?
Political radio gladiators, where you get all the politicians in, say Bronwyn Bishop lining up against Carmen Lawrence in their lycra and everything, and you guys commentate just for the listeners.
Okay, so you'd obviously have to have your Carmen Lawrence and your Senator Robert Ray and people like that in the full gladiators gear.
Yeah, in the lycra, everything, and just all the competitions that they have on gladiators.
And you'd interview them all after their events.
Yeah, you just say, was that your plan?
And Carmen would go, I don't recall.
Can't remember, yeah.
Okay, it's a bit visual, but I think we'll certainly
give it a go.
Yeah, we'll give anything a bash on this program. Have we got, finally, is it...
Robert, what's your idea?
Yeah, have Mick and Tony's butt on the billboard. And we could, people could win it by guessing how much bump fluff they have.
Yeah, this is the all new billboard of crack, is it?
Yeah.
And would you like to have a guess?
A few thousand.
Oh, you're close, but no cigar.
Okay, so it's the bum fluff billboard. Mm. And so does this fit
Hang on, Tony, don't disregard that. I'm starting to go with that. So hey, let me say it again. It's just big billboard, our butts. And, so it's a kind of competition element.
Yeah.
In regards to bum fluff.
Yeah, how much?
You've been writing for us already, haven't you?
Robert, you don't work in advertising by any chance.
No.
Okay, but I think you will be when you get off the phone, because there's just going to be people queuing up in the Saabs to sign you up for Ogilvy and somebody or other. But is that our winning suggestion, Mick? I'm not sure.
Unfortunately, Tone, I think it might be. 100th show, and if there's any proof required that there shouldn't be another, there it is, in one of the lamest gladiator segments I've ever participated in.
But never mind, because Robert, you've got the prize, son.
Thanks.
Yes, it's the Sonic Discman. It's a very, very small stereo, and it's all yours courtesy of 4 and 20 Pies.
Cool.
And what's that in the background, by the way? Is that a parrot?
It's my mum.
And what's her views on the subject?
She reckons it's grouse.
And she doesn't mind you calling up radio stations and saying words like bum fluff to the whole nation?
She doesn't care.
Well, good on you, Robert's mum, and thanks for playing Radio Gladiators, the pair of you. And we'll be back tomorrow with edition number 101, but stick around, people, because, yes, after the news, we're going to be letting the leash off somebody. I think you know his work. It's Pete Smith.
This is Martin Molloy.
It's Wendy Harmer here and...
Andrew Denton.
There. And we'd like to wish Martin and...
Molloy.
Happy...
100th...
birthday.
No, they're not 100 years old.
I thought that went very well.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty smooth, actually. Well, bye.
Bye.
Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital.
We hit the streets of the city with icy cold cans of...
The second hour of our 100th show, and if you noticed how I say it like that, 100th show, trying to invest it with some kind of importance, and people are just at home going, yeah, so what? Tell us when you've got to 1,000, buddy.
Exactly.
But anyway, because it is the 100th, we've got a very special guest today. This bloke, well, he's a genuine national icon. He's been lending a touch of class to various projects of ours for close to 6 years now. He's the chairman of the voiceover board. We've let him out of the booth. Here he is, the former husband of Anna Nicole, Pete Smith. And welcome on board, Pete.
Yeah, thanks. Nice to be out here, boys. I didn't realise you had such a salubrious studio. This has got to be the only radio studio where you can see the Sydney Harbour Bridge, the National War Museum and the Rialto Tower, all in the one neck crane.
We can
absolutely
see it
see,
all.
See, I can't see anything in my booth. You got me in that darkened little dingy place with old Marilyn Monroe shots on the wall. Horrible.
We poke lettuce through those holes we've punched in the top of the booth every so often.
The lettuce is for me.
Yeah, you get a drink and a feed. Come on, what do you want for your money?
Come on, you should have given me some instructions.
They go nowhere on this show. You just make it up as you go along, Pete.
Pete, you are a god. That fax
came
in.
Through.
Pete, you are a god.
Tell us something
fantastic.
We don't know. Have we got any questions yet? Anything off the fax?
No, it's jammed, you know.
Oh,
it gets
course.
Jammed so easy.
They've sent them all to Glen Ridge. Yeah. He'll be asking you about them tonight during the show, no doubt.
Oh, probably, yeah. Gee, make it quick, fellas. I've got a big burst to do.
That's right. It's less than an hour.
Yeah.
And then you get to say, sail of the city. Yeah. Now, tell us the story of how that came about. How did you develop that little catchphrase?
Well, originally, I wasn't the original announcer. They had another guy there for 10 episodes.
Yeah. Who was that?
Already a guy called Ron Neat.
Oh, what happened to Needy?
I don't know. He just must have messed things up a bit, you know. Didn't live up to his name. Anyway, they changed...
Special projects. You'll be working on special projects.
Possibly. I think the guy is still alive and doing voiceovers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nice guy. Anyway, Ron slipped out and I slipped in, but they showed me the videotape of that, and of course it was very rocky compared with what you see today, state-of-the-art computer technology with the title spinning, the sail spinning around, and it took a couple of seconds to spin. It was an old bit of cardboard at the time that they actually turned by hand on an old gramophone turntable.
Yeah.
And, of course, it took a few moments to turn. So when I saw this thing, I thought, gee, I can't say sail of the century. I'll have to say, and I spread it out. Yeah. Sail, you know, to cover the visual spin.
Yeah. So it's...
So I sort of stuck with that once I'd done it. They said, hey, that's good. We'll keep that in.
Right. Now, what about... okay, so we've got the sail of the century. What about Dude Looks Like a Lady? I mean, you sang that on the late show. Has that...
My biggest success, you know. Follows me everywhere, you know.
Do you get people stopping you in the street and saying, what were you thinking? Is there anything like that?
No way, no. They think it's serious. They think it's for real. Don't say that.
Oh, okay.
I carry a B-tape, a backing tape with me all the time.
A B-tape?
Yeah, I got it on one of those little Sony Walkmans.
Right now, Bon Jovi.
I'll do it anywhere.
Bon Jovi, you're on their way out here. Is there any chance... I know Barnes, he's going to be getting up on stage with them to do... Is there any chance you'll be doing a bit of axe work with Jovi?
You've let the cat out of the bag now, Tony. I'm in demand all over the place now, thanks to you guys. You know, it's 2 hours in the booth here, and boy, sky's the limit after that.
Hey, Pete, with the new Don't Forget Your Toothbrush, did they ask you to, like, step into the booth for that?
No,
did they want
they
a bit of
not. Right, they didn't want that. They wanted to get right away from it. You know, they make a clean sweep. So I removed myself from the running for the program as well before Tim was thought of. I pulled right back
out. The National 9 News. I'd love to see you giving that a go.
I have the news. I've done the news. I did all the... Do you remember the abortion inquiries?
Yeah.
The abortion inquiries. That's how I used to introduce it. Yeah. Oh, yes, that was long before Sale was a popular...
It's
icon.
All coming back to us now.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Pete, can you stick around on the panel for a while?
Can I stick around?
He has to. He's got a moment of truth to do.
That's right. Listen, I just want to get... I'm on another segment, aren't I?
I just
want to go and I left some ad-libs in the booth. I'll just go and get them. Okay, I'll be back.
If you could. And what we want to do is we want to... You've mentioned Channel 9. We want to open the Channel 9 can of worms and get some real good Channel 9 scuttlebutt out of you.
Yeah, no worries.
That'll be
We're
next.
We're full of it.
Okay, I'm sure. That's next on Martin Malloy.
S-A-F-M.
That's your Ice House with Crazy on Martin Malloy. Pete Smith has been let off the leash. He's with us on the panel today. And Pete, we mentioned this before. We want some dirt from Channel 9. Who can you dish it on?
You don't want the stuff that gets in TV Week. You want to go beyond that, do you?
We're going to the source.
Yeah, well, Tim Ferguson. Tuesday nights. Yeah. You don't realise during the commercial breaks, because you don't see it on air, of course, I've seen him going through the suitcases in the foyer. You know, everybody's got their...
right.
Yeah.
Looking for a new suit,
Well, he might be too. And Glenn Ridge, now, you know, Glenn is the nicest guy, but I caught him the other day. You know what he's doing?
Right.
He's sitting down looking at old Pickerbox videotapes, you know, with Bob Dyer. That's where he gets his ad-libs from.
Is that right?
Yeah, no,
what's
seriously.
What's the secret?
And Don Burke, although he works out of Sydney, comes down to Melbourne.
He's been burying bodies in that bag. Hadn't he?
Yeah, that's right. You saw him with Rob, you know what I mean? But boy, does he know how to dish up the dirt. I'll say no more on that, I can tell you that. But it's not like the old days. I mean, things are very sedate now. Back in the old days, can you imagine 300 people working on in Melbourne tonight? And I was just a little boy down there, you know, a green kid coming from the ABC. And here's all these guys, you know. I was going home through the car park, crawling my way through to get an old Volkswagen, and here's the everybody had a caravan, the stars, and these caravans are rocking backwards and forwards, and I'm thinking, gee, why don't they fix the springs? I didn't realise, of course, you know, it was on for one and all.
Does that sort of thing go on now? Does that kind of thing?
No, they've got rid of the caravans.
I know.
They just do it out in the open now.
I know a big feature of Channel 9's car park, and we experienced this during one of our many ill-fated pilots, as they're referred
to. The potholes?
No, the sign. The sign, you have your car park sign. And it says, you know, late show is what it said. Or it was late show is what we called it then.
Yeah.
And we just came out one day, bloke in overalls, just unscrewing it. And I think that was when we first realised the show wasn't going to get the go ahead. Hey, Pete, you mentioned you worked at that was Channel 9 a long time ago. Have you ever thought about working for one of those other duds? Have you ever done anything outside of 9?
Yeah, I started the ABC. I had a pop show.
What were you doing at the ABC?
I had a hit show like you guys are doing now, only with a 26-piece orchestra and live artists.
Really?
Yeah.
And what was your role?
The Ernie Sigleys, you know, of the day.
And you would sing or...
Oh,
what?
Yeah. No, I was the compere. No, I didn't do any singing.
Surely the caravan would have been rocking on that show.
No. There were no caravans. This was up at Broadcast House, the very sedate BBC-styled ABC. But on radio, 26-piece orchestra?
Yeah.
Unheard of. I think you come out of the ark.
Well,
and you have.
You just tune in tomorrow and we'll prove you wrong, Pete.
But listen, boys, I'm a survivor. You know, the old museum they got just out of town here, they got a television museum. I don't know if you've been to see it, but there's a lot of glass cases down there with people I work with on IMT.
Is that right?
It's very disconcerting. I don't like it. There's empty cases down there.
You got any tips for us? You got any tips for a couple of young blokes? As you said, you were once a green young kid. Anything on board with us into the future?
Yeah, I just think you should, you know, 100 shows, good effort, but just keep coming back till you get it right, boys, okay?
Now, one thing we can learn from Pete is one of Pete's greatest skills is being able to take anything, no matter how crap it sounds, and just with a bit of music under and the mellifluous Pete Smith vocal tones, make it sound great. And I want to prove this now because
Put me on the spot.
Yeah, I'm afraid so, Pete. A mate of ours called Dave had a disastrous holiday last Christmas. Yeah. It just everything went wrong on his holiday. And what we've done is we've written out a description of his holiday in the form of a Pete Smith prize read. And Dave's listening at home, and I reckon by the end of this, he'll just think he had a beaut time.
Oh, so what, you want me to do it as though it's...
Here you go.
Thanks.
Just use this. Just see if you can read that out and hit the music, Gracie. Take it away, Pete.
Dave, hold on to your hat because you're about to jet off on the holiday of a lifetime. The excitement begins when you're chauffeur-driven to Melbourne Airport in a genuine silver-top taxi. While in transit, you'll be constantly entertained by the driver's views on immigration restrictions, and the persistent smell of three-day-old vomit is just the icing on the cake. Then it's a fun-filled 12 and a half hours delay as the aircraft refueler's stop work allows you to luxuriate in the glamorous Gate 15 transit lounge till well after midnight. But there's no time to dally, because it's straight on to Air Garuda's marathon 68-hour direct flight to London. Once aboard, you, the livestock, and the 15 extradited soccer hooligans will be living the high life as the continental cup of soups flow like honey and the videos of old Terence Hill movies just keep on coming. After engine problems grant you a delightful three-day stopover in sunny Krakow, the city that only seems depressing, it's straight on to Heathrow, where that missing passport is your ticket to a full strip search, courtesy of Her Majesty's government. Then it's just a hop, skip, and a humiliating cavity probe before you're bundled back onto your plane and whisked home to Melbourne with $5,000 in spending money pissed up the wall in fines and penalties. Once home, you'll be tearfully reunited with most of your luggage and quite happy never to go on holiday ever again. Bon voyage, Dave.
Yes, indeed. Word perfect. Thank you, Pete Smith.
I want to go. How can I get on?
I'm signing up for that holiday right now. Thanks, Pete. You've done us proud, as you always do, and we'd like to have you to come back, if that's all right, and play for the car. Will you do that?
Oh, you know. But I know my place. I'm back in the booth, boys.
Okay, here's
back
your,
in your box, Pete.
Here's your Martin Molloy, your board game and stick pin. You enjoy that.
Lovely.
And we've been talking with the master, Pete Smith, here on Martin Molloy.
A special treat for the youngsters.
The new SAFM with today's best
10.
But we'll be back with more results tomorrow. And we must thank our 100th show guests, Pete Smith and Neil from Cakes R Us. And what a prestigious lineup it is. Tomorrow we'll be joined by proper actor, Hamlet his own self, Richard Roxburgh. He'll be giving us a bit of an acting clinic.
Absolutely.
Well, not that we need one from the very fine work in that blooper scene.
Oh, indeed.
But he's got a few tips for us. So join us then. And remember, if you can't say something intelligent, come talk to us.
Martin Molloy is a misguided production in association with Half-Baked Ideas and Ill-Conceived Concepts Proprietary Limited. Brought to you by Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Pete Smith speaking.